All right, all right. Man, what an energy that is in this place this morning. How you feeling today, huh? Yeah. I'm feeling really, really good. I'm super excited. I love the roar of conversation, the relationships that we get to make. Also love that we have so many people that tune in online. We are hearing from people that don't live anywhere near our state. They are thousands of miles away and they tune in. I just want to welcome everybody that comes online and is a part of this church through technology. Thank you so much for being here. Would everybody just give it up for those that tune in and part of church online? Yeah, man. Hey, what we want you to know, Church Online, is this, that we feel like you are a part of us and a part of everything that we do. For whatever reason that you are tuning in digitally, we respect that. Whether you're saying, hey, I just prefer not to be in crowded spaces right now, cool, man, we champion that. If you say, look, I just can't get there, hey, man, we're glad you're connected, but we just want you to know we love you. We don't see you separately or differently. We're so thankful that you're a part of our service today and a part of this church family. Isn't that right, everybody? Yeah. So, hey, we've been in a series, and we've been calling this series Decisive Direction. Decisive Direction. There's a real, real reason, or like a place that comes from, Decisive Direction. And if you missed that, I explained that in the first installment of this series that I spoke a couple of weeks ago. You can go find that on YouTube. You can find it on our website or whatever. If this is the place you are calling home as church, and you've missed any part of this series, I would really, really recommend that you go catch that. Yeah, sound good? I really, really would. If you're a guest today, I just want to be the first. Well, I'm probably not the first, but I would like to be one of the people that welcome you to the room. I'm so glad you're here. If you're a guest online or in person, we're really, really thankful that you're a part of the service. I always try, by the way, when we're in sermon series like this, I always try to make sure that every message can stand alone. That way, if it is your first time, you know, you don't have to feel like you're missing anything. So I promise today we'll still be able to serve you the same way, like if you haven't heard anything, but if you're a part of this family, I really, really think what we've been speaking about for the last several weeks is very, very important for all of us. So you guys ready to get started today? All right, good, good, good. If you're a note taker, right in front of you in those seat backs is some notes. If you want to write some notes, there's probably a lot of things today you would want to actually write down. I'm going to have way more on the screen than you have on that paper. If you're on the front row, it is underneath your chair. If you're at home, best way probably for you is just grab a pen and paper and just tune in. I promise it's going to be really, really easy, but there are going to be some things on the screen today that I'm going to share. I'm going to be making some announcements today, everybody. All right, I got some stuff to tell you. A lot of vision going to come from me into our church for some next steps that we'll be taking. And so sit back, buckle up, put in your mouthpiece. Let's go. Y'all ready? All right. So we've started our series. There's a thematic verse that really, quite frankly, has been a staple in my own spirit lately. Just a very, very strong sense and a leading from the Spirit of God in me. It comes from the story of Joshua. He's a leader that's taken over for the great leader Moses. He's now leading God's people. And he's this right here, when we pick up in chapter 1, he's like fresh into his new role as like the number one leader of God's people. And God is speaking, and he says this, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous?" And we've been talking a lot about that strength and courage, and God's trying to take us somewhere. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord God is with you." And I've been reading it the way I've been hearing it in my spirit. "For the Lord God is with you wherever you go." Amen. Wherever you go. And we've been talking about direction. And I think that oftentimes we, as followers of Christ, quite frankly, as people, just as people, we want to know, like, where am I going? We want a direction, a mission, deploy me on something that matters and it's important. And so in this series, we've been talking about that. Well, what does that look like for us? And so we've been calling this series Decisive Direction. And there are times that we've discovered that God will like overwhelmingly be speaking to us, like drawing us, like you can't ignore it. You ever had those moments? It's like, man, every commercial that I see, every song on the radio, every conversation, every sermon, every song, like it makes me like think like, okay, God, yes, I will go into the direction that you are leading me. How many of you ever had that moment, right? But then there are other times you stand at a crossroads, perhaps, and you're like, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And if you're like me, and I feel like this happens way more often to me than I would like it to, but there are times where I'm like, God, I, like, I'll do whatever you say. Just say something. Like, tell me. How many of you guys have ever been there? Like, you're begging God, please speak to me. I'm not hearing anything. And so this verse is what God's been speaking. I think sometimes God just allows us to make some choices. In the same way when we're raising our kids, there are times where we have the opportunity just, like, we tell them, like, just, I don't know, you decide. You choose. You decide is one of my favorite things to say to leaders, like the people that I associate with, people on our staff, some of the amazing serve team members and captains on our team. My favorite thing to say to them is like, I don't know, you decide. They'll say, Josh, what do you think about this? Or do you think we should be, and I'll, you know, and like if I have a strong opinion, I might share it. But otherwise, like if I'm indifferent, I'm just like, I don't know, you decide. Whatever you think is best, I trust you. And I think there are times that God treats his children that way, where he's like, well, look, listen, you decide. You're going to have strength and courage wherever you go. But listen, I'm with you wherever you go. What do you want to do? And that's been like the premise of our message today. But there's times where I'm looking for the direction. And then there comes the time that I actually have to start off in the direction. And really, honestly, like, one is stressful, and the other one is just a different kind of stressful. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, okay? Is that good? So check this out. Here, I want to take you into the story, just further down in the story, that Joshua, who has been called by God to lead the people, and God has said three times to be strong and courageous. And then he's like, listen, I'm with you wherever you go. I've given you this promised land. Go there. Remember, how many of you guys remember I said the dot dot? We were going to look at the dot dot this week. Yeah, we ain't going to do that. After further review, I was like, nah. But maybe next week. I don't know. I was still looking at the dot dot myself, but it ain't for us today. Fair enough. But what happens is that ultimately God's like, Joshua, you're the guy. You're the leader. Have some strength, have some courage. I'm with you wherever you go. And then comes the time that Joshua actually has to start making some decisions. We got to actually get moving. God isn't going to wake us up in the morning. He isn't going to pack our bags. He ain't going to put my sandals on. Like, that's my part, right? And that's the reality of a decisive direction, is that the gravity kind of lands when it's on us to now start taking steps toward what we feel like God has called us to, or what we feel like God has given us the freedom to go to. Am I right? And that's where we pick up Joshua. Then Joshua commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. That's what I'm saying to you today. Get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. All right, some of y'all get that. In 3 days, and here it is, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. Title of my message today is Rivers and Returns. Rivers and Returns. Because I believe that there are times in our lives as we follow Christ that he is going to call us into new territory. Now, for Israel, they had been in the wilderness under Moses' leadership, really learning how to follow God. They were unlearning the mindset and patterns of slavery, and they were learning the mindset of walking with the Lord. And that's really what the wilderness became for them. They started to understand him and his law and his methods and his mindset and the way that he wanted them to worship and all those things. The wilderness, while it might look like a bunch of waste of time, was very, very strategic, I think, by God that, hey, before I give you all that I want you to have, I need you to understand who I am. And I think that's the journey of faith for us all. Wouldn't you agree? That in every step, in every season, man, God, I'm always learning who you are. And so here goes Joshua now, after the death of Moses, that he will be the leader that takes Israel into the promised land. And what they're going to have to do is cross over the river. And I believe for you and me that the river is a representation of transition. Like, it's time to do something different. It's time to do something new. Now is the time that, like, okay, God, I either feel you overwhelmingly calling me to this direction, and here I go, or God, you've given me the freedom, therefore, here I go. The river is the representation of that beginning and that gravity where it's like, well, now it's on me to start making some decisions. Now it's on me to start being obedient. Now it's on me to actually deploy other people or to get others involved, right? Am I making sense? That's the river for us. And so at Church on the Rock, we feel like we're on the bank of a river. And I will give you some context, okay? So if it's all right with you, I'm just gonna talk today. Is that okay? Let's have a conversation. For me, conversations are easy, and I would like to just have a conversation with you today. And so some of you would not understand our context. You don't know because maybe you're pretty new here. You haven't been here very long, or you just moved into the city, or you just found our church, and for whatever reason, you're pretty new to this church family, whereas others of you have been here for extended times, a couple of years, 3 years. Some of you have been here for decades, and that's true. There are people that have been here for all this different time. So for those that are newer, that you don't really know all that much about us, Church on the Rock has been a church that I believe God has blessed in amazing ways, like just amazing ways. I stand sometimes in awe of the things that God will do. And sometimes I'm like beside myself in enthusiasm, like, God, you are a good God, and you've been good to our church. And one of the ways that he's been good to us is that he has just given us this great privilege to reach people. This is our mission. Like, it's what we do, man. Like, we want everybody to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody. It's what we want. And then we want everybody to walk with Jesus. So the way we say it is that we exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus. That's the gospel, that they may become fully devoted followers of Christ. There's that discipleship. And so God's given us this awesome opportunity to do that, and we get to do that. And so if you've been a part of this church for any length of time, you'll know this, but if you're new, you won't know this, that we have seen God fill this building up like crazy. So let's rewind in time just for a couple of minutes. We rewind in time, you guys will remember this, to pre-COVID. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember them days, the good old days? Y'all remember that? Right before COVID changed the world and just the way that we live and function, Church on the Rock was in 3 services on Sunday mornings. We were packing this. So for those of you that have never been to this building, let me look online for a second. This place is not that big at all. We have 1 closet in the whole place that actually is a closet. Everything else is a closet plus, 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 because we have to maximize every square inch of our facility because it's very, very tiny. But there's a life-giving atmosphere here that people like being a part of, and so people come. And so one of the blessings of our church is that we see rooms tend to fill up. And I love that. That's like way in my personality. I dig it. But we see rooms fill up. And pre-COVID, we were filling this place up multiple times over. And I actually, we rented a place in our city, and we invited a bunch of our team and leaders. Come on, y'all. And we had food, and it was awesome. And I stood up on this little platform, and I was giving vision on that day like I'm going to do today. And I was given vision. And the vision was why Church on the Rock was going to go from 3 services to 4 at Easter. We were going to do 6 or 7 Easter services over the weekend, and we were going to come back to stick in 4 forever because we got this building and people keep coming, and we got to serve them. And I gave that message on a Friday night, and within days, COVID had everything shut down. Everything. And of course, it was the whole pivot thing. A pivot, pivot, pivot. We got to figure out how to do it. Anyway, let me get to the point for the sake of time. Is that it really changed the way we think. But the whole time, in the back of my mind, here's what I knew, that eventually the same pressures we are dealing with now or then, pre-COVID, they're coming back. They're coming back. And we need to play. So for three years now, our board of directors, our leadership team, we have been looking for properties. We've been trying to find stuff that we could grow in. We've looked at expansions here, and we found that there's incredible limitations here that won't allow us to do what we want to do. And we've gone and made we have made bids on buildings that aren't even for sale. Be like, do, do, do. Yeah, what's up? You want to sell this place? We'll give you this much money. No thanks. Bam, like that. That's how it has felt. We have had properties under contract doing due diligence to find out, like, hey, could this be a future for us? Only to find out, like, this isn't going to work either, one problem or another, and we would have to withdraw. And I mean, it has been a process, and can I just be myself in our conversation? It's been annoying. It's been a little, for me, it's been a little frustrating because I'm like, God, We're trying. We're not waiting for doors to open. We're turning doorknobs. That's what we're doing. Like, what's the deal? And so, that process is still on. In fact, you can pray. I have to be very discreet here. But you can pray because we are looking at a property once again. Pray. Would you pray? Just God, please, in Jesus' name. I'm praying, God, give it to it. I'm not praying, God, if it's your will. That's not my prayer. My prayer is, God, please, dear Jesus. Anyway. So I'm just letting you know. Now you know how I feel about it. In the medium, it's like, look, we got to do something. We got to do something because I do believe that our small location does create some hindrances. Now, I think it also creates a lot of upside and a lot of benefits, and we thank God for it. So let me say this very carefully. Like, we do not and never would take for granted all that we have. We have a lot, and we're really, really thankful for it. So anything I ever say, I never mean to like diminish what we currently have, because that's not our heart or our posture about it. We're very thankful. But at the same time, we're very vision oriented. And like, God, we know you're calling us to more. And so we're constantly working on how can we go where you're calling us to go? How can we see more? And so I got an announcement. You ready? All right. We've got a plan in place, and it is a temporary plan, but it's our plan. Here you go. It's not going to be all that big in the font, but it's probably going to be big in news. Church on the Ark is going to move to St. Augustine High School Auditorium right next door. Okay? All right. Okay. Yay. And all that, right? But like, this is a big deal. And so really fast, like, I have to be quick because I want to respect your time. Very quickly is that this door has been the only door that has, like, it was like a double door opened wide open. There was red carpet. They have been unbelievably inviting and gracious, done everything they can do to say, like, we would love this partnership. We've been neighbors. We've always worked together in different events and things, and we've borrowed their parking lot, and they've borrowed ours, and for years, we just have done things there because we're neighbors. It's right there. And so they were like, yes, we would love this. Please, please, please. And I'm telling you, they've made it as painless and awesome and simple as they possibly can. I'm excited about that, all right? What I'm excited about is us having a little bit more space. I'm not excited about some other things, but I'm excited about more space. And so let me just give them to you quick. Bam, bam, bam. All right, so here's what it's going to look like, all right? This gives us more seats to reach more people, okay? Because we fill this room. We fill, and I thank you for coming. Thank you. Like, we fill this room. And I love that. But we've seen that to fill this room and then to turn it over and fill it and then to turn it over and then fill it and try to turn it over and fill it, it really has a tax on our serve team. And it comes with some difficulties attached to us. Now listen, every obstacle presents opportunities, and every opportunity has obstacles, okay? And when we're realists, like, we get it. So doing this also has some obstacles attached to it. All right, we'll talk a little bit more about that through time. But ultimately, we've made a decision. Look, it's going to give us a lot more seats where we can invite more people and serve more people. The other thing it's going to do, it's going to give our kids more space that I'm telling you right now, they need so badly, because we want to reach more families. Right? So, like, we want to connect to families, and right now our kids' space is so small. Some of your homes are bigger than the space we put all those kids in every single Sunday. And I don't even mean that sarcastically. Like, that's very legitimate. And so we need to give them some more space, and then it gives us a bigger base to build our future. Okay, so let me, like, I don't have time to give all the details. I know there's probably going to be a lot of questions, but I'm going to unpack a couple of things. I'm going to kind of show you how I see it. You ready? Here's what's going to happen. All the big church, all the big kids, that's us, we're going to move to the auditorium at St. Augustine High. Now, we also have some other rooms, so we're going to have some space for some kids and things like that. Anyway, I'm not even going to get into that detail. Just simply put, all of us, we're going to go over there. This campus that we currently sit in now is going to transition into our kids' campus so that they can spread out and they can grow. they need this room. They need every room they have over there and more. And so what we're going to do is give them the space to grow and increase so that we can serve more families, we can have more children. So right now, we consistently have rooms that are like, they are packed out, and we are doing our best to serve your kids. But it's been difficult, not because your kids. Your kids are great because the space. Your kids are great. But the space has made it hard to serve your kids the way we want to serve your kids. And so we're like, hey, well, if we go over there, it gives us space, and then it opens up the door for our kids to have space. And so when we make that transition, we have systems. Listen, every single week, 5 days a week, moms and dads are dropping their kids off at places, cool, because they trust them, because it's safe, because it's secure, and they say, all right, we'll see you at the end of the workday, and then they go off and go to work, and then they come back. We're going to create that kind of mindset here, that, hey, we're going to make sure that safety is in place, sheriff deputies on site, safety team members here. We're going to have all kinds of systems to make sure your children are safe when they are on this location, but we need to give them some space, and to do it, we're going to go get some more space of our own, and then we're just going to be right here. Now, listen, just very dreamy, okay, very dreamy. I'm going to honestly tell you some of my vision is that there are ways, by the way, I won't get into that, we will create connectivity from mom and dad to the kid. Trust me, we're working on it. You will be able to have that connection. You will know if you are needed, kind of a thing, okay? My dream is that, man, I don't have a lot of time. My dream is that that we create a transportation system between these campuses. We intend to buy at least a trolley, all right? So the hope would be that mom and dad and family can come and park where you parked this morning. You can come, check your children in, jump on our amazing trolley with our Disney World feel and our guys and what up? Okay, all right. So you'll be parking in Pluto and skin, but maybe we can make it fun like that. You jump on the trolley and then we'll transport you next door to the auditorium where you can do church with us. And then when you're done, you can get back on that trolley. We'll transport you back so you only have to park one time. And those of you that don't have children, you can just drive over there and park and get on a golf cart and go to the, just like you do here, you can do there. Does that make sense? And so what we're trying to do is we're just trying to create like this connectivity across, there's a little tiny street between us right here. Just create connectivity and make this one big family so that we can just connect and give us more space, give them more space. This is our temporary plan while we continue to find property and real estate to continue to grow our church in whatever way that is, renovation, build a new building. We don't know yet. We have some pretty cool ideas and some high hopes about some things that could be in the works, but I'm not going to talk about any of that. Amen. But this is it. And we believe that doing this is going to give us a bigger base to do what we do so that it'll help us leverage toward that new future, whatever God is trying to do. Okay. That's the announcement right there. It's public. You can tell everybody. Okay. We've been holding this under wraps for months. It feels so good to tell everybody, whether you like it or not. I'm just glad I can say it out loud. Okay. This is our plan. This is our plan. Now, let me get into it. I got to hustle, y'all. No returns. No returns. And let me just talk for a second here. And I'm going to do this. Bam, bam, bam. All right? We're making decisions, decisive direction as a church that we're going to move forward. We're going somewhere. We got to do something. Let's go. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching to you what I have been living in. Like today, I'm living it today. In real time, where I'm like, God, what do you want us to do? What's right? That one, this property, that building. Well, and I'm like, God, I'm begging, just say something. I'll do anything you want. And I honestly felt like God was like, I'm with you, wherever you go. What do you want to do? I'm like, well, it wasn't the high school, but let's do it anyway. Temporary plan. Amen. Because, listen, we're going to move forward because we believe that we'll reach more people. I mean, just quite frankly, we have a mission to reach people the life-giving message of Jesus, that they will become fully devoted followers of Christ. We're going to get that done. And then, listen, we will avoid, and I put this in quotation, some of you might have heard this in business teaching or read this in books, we're going to avoid the doom loop. So, here, let me explain that briefly, is that I believe this in my core. That if we go back to what we've done before, that we're in the doom loop. I think this is one of the riskiest things I've ever led us to do. Like this was the complexity of this decision was enormous. I mean, if you could imagine the details that go into a logistical shift like this, it's very, very intense. And my mind would constantly have a battle like, are you crazy? Are you a genius? Are you, like, I don't know. What are you? And I, on any given moment of any given day, I believed I was one of those things and anywhere in between, seriously, okay? No one's ever called me genius, so that's a joke, but you get it, all right. And so what I recognized was in my head was this battle, but in my heart, I understood, God, I think this is what's right. And what I had to do is I had to make a delineation between this distance. Like, okay, because the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of me and spiritual warfare happens in my mind. That's true for us. And I think let me teach you a second. I think there are times where your heart, the Spirit of God, is leaning you into something, drawing you towards something, and in your heart you know this is the decisive direction. It's the battlefield that will make you go, I don't know. And what tends to happen if we are not careful is when we get into unknown or the big step of faith, like I don't know what I'm going to actually step into when I cross this river, that sometimes we get to the bank and we're like, let me just go back to what I know I can do. Let me just go back to where I've been before. Let me go back to a place of comfort or surety. And what we do is we find ourselves in a doom loop. And every time we get on the bank of the river to move into new territory, we keep going back. And we keep going back. And we keep going back. And the truth of the matter is, deep within us, there's a frustration because we know there's more. And so as a church, we've decisively decided, let's cross this river. Let's go. Because I've said this, and a couple of you have said, man, when you said that, that resonated with me. And I'm at a place just as a leader, I'm like, I would rather fall on my face moving forward and trying something new than to fall on my back, standing still and being in fear. And so, hey, you know what? The doors blew wide open. They're gracious. They're amazing. They're kind. We've got partners that are helping us make this happen. I mean, it's going to be a pretty big deal. And like, let's go for it. This is the decisive direction of our church for this next season. Now, on the other side of that, you're like, well, what's next? Like, I don't know yet. I really don't. I have ideas. I have dreams. I have vision. But the truth of the matter is, I don't really know those answers. I just know that to get to that step, I believe we need to take this step. Yeah. All right. So the question I'm always asking, let me make this... hang on. Can I say one more thing? May I say one more thing? So I was looking today. We have these core values in our church. This is a card I keep on my desk. And to be very transparent with you, we probably don't emphasize these enough in the culture of especially our leadership and our team. But we have these 10 core values. It's like we like to make decisions. Let me give you one example. Can I give you an example? Our number one core value at Church on the Rock. You ready? Jesus over everything. Amen. Everything. So what we have is we have a value, and then we have like a statement that sort of supports that statement, and then we have a scripture that confirms that belief or that way of thinking. And so Jesus over everything, we prioritize his purpose over every part of our lives. And then we have Colossians 1:17 if you want to check that out sometime. That's an example. Well, I was looking at these core values in the midst of this decision, and I want to give you core value number 6, okay? And it is this. We live bold, brave, faith-filled lives. This is who we've chosen to be. We're going to be bold and brave and faith-filled, which means we're going to try some things. We're going to take some steps. We might take some wrong steps. We might mess some things up every once in a while, but you know what? We're moving forward. We have a mission, and we're going to go to that mission. Check this out. Because, here's our statement, we never insult God with small thinking and safe living. And look at the verse that just happened to be attached when I was digging through there. And it was a confirmation for me because I was seriously like saying, God, I think I might be crazy. And I think God was like, I'm with you wherever you go. What do you want to do? Okay, here we go. So the question I'm always asking is like, what about you? What about you? So here it is. You ready? And we're going to close right here. All right, rivers and returns. So some of you are standing at the bank of your river in your situation, in your life. Now, all the application today is for, you got to determine with the Holy Spirit. But you're on the bank of the river of transition in your life. And your choice is, I'm either crossing this river into new territory, or I'm going to return to the doom loop where I've been before. And so the questions that I want to ask is, what river do you need to cross? What is it? This is for you. And this might be one of those things you need to really think about and journal and pray and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Some of you, it's like you can't ignore it. It's like you all you can think about is you know the river. You know what's up in your own life. It's so clear to you. But I want you to identify the river. What's the river that you need to cross? Because I love saying this because it's true. If God is going to do a work in us, that means he has to do a work in you. Isn't that right? Because we're the body of Christ. So if he does something in the body, it happens in the members. So what river do you need to cross? And then number two, how can you avoid returns? How can you avoid returns? I don't know. Maybe I should just go back. Maybe I should just do what I used to do. This works before. And I'm telling you, like, it's easy to have returns. I think it's tough to cross rivers. Because Israel, when they crossed that river, it was a battlefield on the other side. So God called it the promised land. It was flowing with milk and honey, which was representation of like enjoyment and pleasure. And they had to go over there and fight for it. And the reason that I think crossing rivers is so scary is because we have a pretty probably strong sense and understanding of what's over there, which is why we have to have strength and courage, because we might have to fight for it. And what I would hate for us to do is to stand on the bank knowing that God's calling us to cross this river and say, I'll just go back. It's comfortable there. It's safer there. I know what it's like there. Remember when Israel, some of you will know what I'm talking about. Remember when Israel left Egypt and they got onto the bank of the sea? And then they were complaining like, we should have just stayed there. We should have stayed slaves. That's what they said. We should have just stayed in that misery that we prayed for God to set us free from. We should have just stayed. The doom loop. The doom loop. It's easy to get on the bank of the river and return. But what's the river you need to cross? And how can you avoid that return? Okay, as I close, there are some of you, maybe you're watching online, maybe you're sitting right here in this room, and this is what I think the power of the Holy Spirit of God can do. Is that he can take a message where the pastor talks about like strategic vision and logistics for the new season of the church, but all you heard was the Spirit of God touching your heart. And the river that you stand on the brink of, this side of it is slavery, and that side of it is freedom. Listen to me. Jesus died, conquered hell, and walked out of that grave so you could be free. And I just think that some of you, I'm going to tell you the river you're standing at. You're standing at the bank of new life in Christ. And I know it's a little scary because maybe you've never done it. Maybe you grew up in a bad church culture and you're like, I don't ever want to get into that again. Maybe you've never been in church. Maybe the Bible intimidates you. Maybe you've met people that called themselves Christian and you're like, I don't think that's what I want to do. But all that aside, in your heart, he's like, hey, it's up here that the battle's going on. I don't know. So the Bible says that we take this relationship by faith to believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who died for our sins. And we preach it around here. And the Bible says this, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. It's the power of God, the gospel, the message of Jesus. And so, with every head bowed and every eye closed, as I end right here, I'm very specifically speaking to those standing on the riverbank of life change. Now, for the rest of us, you got to determine what your river is. You got to determine how to avoid those returns. But in this moment, I'm only talking to people on the bank of life change. And the Spirit of God is beckoning you to go across. Come take a journey with me. Go on a faith journey with me. Trust me. And cross this river. Listen to me carefully. This is your pastor speaking. Don't go back. Get out of the doom loop. Go across the river. There might be battles there. There might be difficulties over there. But it's the promised land, and it's better there. And so if that's you right now, what I'm going to do is lead us in a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. This prayer is not special or magical. It's just to help you. I'm guiding you is all I'm doing, because the Bible says that if we put our faith in Jesus, we will be saved. And Jesus said this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to my Father except through me. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer that's going to help you cross the river of life change. And so all I'm going to ask you to do is repeat after me. Whether you're at home, driving in the car, sitting in this building, I want every voice to repeat this prayer, because some people are going to say it for the very first time. We want to help them to do that. So here's our prayer. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, can we congratulate those that said that prayer? Congratulations, whoever you are. Congratulations. We love you guys. Hey, stick around just a couple more minutes. We got one more thing for you.